The actor-turned-director Tom McCarthy reportedly had the idea for the station agent when he saw a small, charming, abandoned New Jersey railroad station. He had planned to cast himself in the title role, but everything changed when he met Peter Dinklage, who happens to be a dwarf. The movie won several top prizes at this year's Sundance Film Festival. Film critic David Edelstein has a review.
There's a scene in the great comedy Living in Oblivion in which the hapless low-budget movie director, played by Steve Buscemi, attempts to shoot a nightmare sequence with the heroine and an ominous dwarf. Nothing goes right, and finally the dwarf actor begins to scream that every time some third-rate, low-budget director does a nightmare sequence, the first thing they call for is an ominous dwarf. Well, cinema is a superficial medium, and dwarves and giants are traditionally used to signify freakiness, proof that nature can go inexplicably awry. But in Tom McCarthy's The Station Agent, the dwarf protagonist signifies something else, the moronic overuse of signifiers. He's played by the same actor as in Living in Oblivion, Peter Dinklage, and he works at a charmingly run-down model train store in Hoboken, New Jersey. Early on, you watch him go through his day, watch the people who pass him register surprise, some subtly, some broadly, like the kids who say, "Hey, where's Snow White?" When the kindly owner of the store drops dead, the dwarf inherits half an acre in rural New Jersey with a tiny train station, long since forsaken. He arrives in town silent, unsmiling, like Clint Eastwood shrunk down, the dwarf with no name. Well, he has a name. It's Finn, but he utters that one syllable under duress. And like Eastwood in The Outlaw Josie Wales, Finn begins to attract a band of misfit outcasts. Joe, played by Bobby Cannavale, operates his sick dad's coffee and hot dog truck near the old station and is desperate to talk. Boy, does he like to talk. Olivia, played by Patricia Clarkson, nearly runs Finn over twice with her SUV, then shows up at his door with a bottle of bourbon. She doesn't like to talk, except to Finn. She's separated from her husband, living alone in what was meant to be a weekend house, painting outsized portraits of grief, in mourning for a dead child. Finn doesn't invite their confessions, but they open up to him in their loneliness, as if they know he'll understand. He's the ultimate outsider. The Station Agent is one of those sentimental movies in which the world itself is cruelly indifferent. It's the characters who labor to warm it up. They reach out compulsively, blurting out confidences. Then they get scared and pull back or run. Along the way, every easy exchange comes to seem blessed. Like this one, after Joe convinces Olivia to let him cook dinner for her and Finn.
Hey, Olivia! You got a garlic press?
No.
How can you not have a garlic press?
Still no.
You keep talking. I'm gonna go cook without the garlic press.
I'm not used to having people in my house, especially loud people.
It's a nice house.
Yeah. David bought it as a getaway place, so I moved out here and got away.
Where did you used to live?
Princeton. I know. I didn't get very far. How about you? What made you pick Newfoundland?
I wanted to live near Joe.
Guys, can you come up here and talk? Seriously, this sucks.
The first-time director, Tom McCarthy, works in a deadpan minimalist mode, like Scotland's Bill Forsyth. There's the faintest touch of whimsy, bordering on cute, but never crossing that border. It helps that those trains bring a touch of the exotic, or rather, the feelings that Finn and his new friends have for them, the way they check the train's comings and goings with stopwatches, or spend days walking or reading alongside the tracks. The score, by Stephen Trask, is all soft, pretty banjos. Then, out of nowhere, you can't quite believe what you're hearing. A theremin begins to noodle, then fades away like a passing locomotive. The movie tickles you with its sudden, mystical intimacies, and with its actors. The 4'6" Dinklage has a brooding presence, a face that can surprise you with its classical handsomeness, a voice that's improbably deep. Cannavale's muscle-bound doofus is a marvel of cocky insecurity. And Patricia Clarkson, I wouldn't mind if she were in every movie. McCarthy goes off-key in only one scene, in a bar where Finn drinks himself into a stupor and drunkenly harangues the crowd. It's bad because that anger is implicit. Anyway, the rant was funnier in Living in Oblivion. The station agent ends very fast, at a point where you're ready to hang out with it a while. It leaves you the way American movies almost never do. Relaxed, receptive, happy in the moment, not even caring if your train comes in.
David Edelstein is film critic for the online magazine Slate. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our senior producer today is Roberta Shorrock. Our engineer is Audrey Bentham. Dorothy Farabee is our administrative assistant. Sue Spolin directed the show. WHYY's executive producer of national radio programming is Elizabeth Perez Luna. Our theme music was composed by Joel Forrester and performed by the Microscopic Septet. For Terry Gross, I'm David Biancooley.